Holy Gospel lesson for today is found in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the 27th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prays. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather before you today. For we know that it's a special day within the life of the church, but it's a normal day for you. We just ask, Lord, that you be with us as we gather, as we give honor and praise to those who've touched our worlds and our lives in special ways, that have strengthened our faith, challenged us in our thinking, and been present with us in our walk in life. Be with us now, grant me those words that I might speak, and each of us hear the ears that we may hear, the meditations you've prepared for our lives. We ask these many things in no right of our own, but in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, some of the commentaries have said that this lesson here, we could go in any direction we wanted to, pretty much. We could talk about the Lord and how he's touched our worlds, looking at Elijah. We could talk about how we've touched the lives of others as we look at who we are and what we've been about. Or we could just talk about nature. But I would like to talk about ourselves, because I think today's lesson's about you and I in our walk in faith. Have any of us ever made it to the point where we said, I quit. I'm done. I've had it with my kids. I've had it with my job. I've had it with my sports team. I've had it with life in general. I don't like this. I hate that. I am just a sad sack of affairs. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Anybody in that place? Anybody ever in the place where you say, why me, Lord?
Yes,
what did I ever do?
I hear what you're saying, Pastor John.
Why me? Why don't you pick on somebody else? There's always Joyce up there, or there's Carl over there, or there's Ross out there. How full can my plate get before I'm ready to just jump off the bridge? Any of us sit back and say, we're all alone. There's nothing happening. The church is dead. Where are the young people? Where are the senior citizens? I remember when the church was full. Here's Elijah. He's coming off of the highlight of his ministry, one of the highlights of his ministry. What happens just before today's lesson is he was just tested the God of Baal to come down from heaven and show that he's more powerful than the God of Israel. Remember the story? They're on the top of the mountain and they build two altars, and Ahab and Jezebel, the God of their God. And he says, well, let's show who's the mighty God. So they build two altars on the top of the mountain, put their sacrifices on it. And Elijah says, go ahead, you folks go first. Show us that Baal's really the most powerful God. And their 400 prophets get out there, and priests get out there and dance around the altar, yelling and screaming, ranting and raving, jumping up and down, praising the Lord, imploring the Lord to come down and consume the offering that they'd put out there. Did it all morning, now it's afternoon, and they're still out there jumping, yelling, screaming, shouting, cutting themselves. Elijah's having a fine time over there in the corner saying, go ahead, maybe your God's asleep, cry out louder. Maybe he's wandered off, maybe he's on vacation, maybe he's got a text message he's got to deal with. Oh, that's a little before our time. But eventually, Elijah says, now it's my turn. And he bows down and prays and says, Lord, please show these people who the God Almighty is. Prove yourself to all the world whose you are. And all of a sudden, a bolt of fire comes out of the sky. Oh, before that, by the way, before that, he takes and pours 55 gallons of water on top of it, three barrels, 55 gallons of water on top of the altar. Then he pours three more barrels of water on top of it. And then he pours three more barrels of water on top of it. Now it's a soaking wet mud pit. He didn't want anybody to get this one wrong. And then he prays. And down out of the heavens comes this bolt of fire, consumes not only the offering that was laying on it, but the altar, the water. Who's the most powerful God in your lives, in our lives? How does that change the way we live our lives? Well, for Elijah, instead of seeing that as a thing of power, Ahab goes home and tells Jezebel what happened to all his prophets, because afterwards, Elijah had all 400 of the prophets killed, priests killed from the prophet of Baal. And Jezebel comes back and says, well, if the same doesn't happen to Elijah by the end of tomorrow, I failed. Elijah is now despondent, runs off and hides in a cave, runs away to get away into the wilderness. And the angel tells him, comes to him and says, go into the wilderness and wander for 40 days. And he gives him the nourishment to do that. Twice he feeds him. And then another angel comes to him and says, why are you here? And he gives that quote there. I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of the hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. And after 40 days in the wilderness, God comes and appears to him again. And he says the same statement again. I alone am left. I'm all alone. Where's everyone else? Where's the masses, the multitudes that you promised? Why doesn't everyone believe? And here was Elijah after seeing the mighty act of God wander away. Have we ever seen the mighty act of God touch our worlds? Experienced his presence? Remember back when our faith had us on fire? Could have been after a church camp experience, a group youth group event. Could have be happen after the birth of a child, the healing of a sick one, the welcoming home of a lost. What was your event that confirmed for you that your Lord was the God of Israel, the God of our forefathers, your God? You couldn't wait to tell a friend, or maybe you kept it silent, but it confirmed for you that you were in the presence of an almighty God that loved you. That's where we are today. We sit back in a world that's slowly depleting itself, matter of fact, rather rapidly depleting itself through our overconsumption, through our lack of awareness, willingness. And God comes and says to us, where are you? What are you up to? Or do we say the task is so great, what can we possibly do to change it? Or we say, poor me, I don't know what to do. And God comes to us when we want to quit, like Elijah did. He had the excuse, nobody else is out there. I'm all alone. And God comes to him as he comes to us. He says, Elijah, you're not alone. There are thousands out there that need to hear, need to be, need to experience my grace. And the only way they'll experience it is through you. Now go and build yourself a new team. Anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. and Elisha as the new priest. God's using us in everyday life to be his people, to help share the good news that he's the Lord God Almighty, that he cares for us and he's nurturing us every step of the way. And as we prepare to honor the saints that have come before us, that have touched our lives and made our worlds better places, this isn't just a remembrance of what was. Communion isn't just a remembrance of the God who was present, who did give his life to us, who saved us in our own sinfulness. The lives we live, the opportunities we have, aren't just because of the past, but are building blocks for the future. And when there's multitudes or when there's a few, God is still present there, touching our world and changing our lives. The stories of the sacred acts, the mighty acts of God, the sacred stories of faith in action are just as real for us today as we live them out in our world. But so frequently we see them as being meaningless or without character. And yet we will one day be recognized by some as the saints who cared for them and nurtured them and allowed them to experience the love of a God who through us being the presence of Christ in their world, were able to stand and boldly proclaim, "Thou art my God, and I am but a sheep of your fold." We have a mighty role to play, and so frequently we discount it and believe and act as though it doesn't make a difference, as though we're all alone and nobody notices. But the people that we praise and honor today, renouncing their names as being saints of God, all lived normal lives, with the element also of being faithful stewards of his creation. That's what we're called to be. And we never give up. We never quit. God never quits on us. He didn't leave Elisha off the hook. He continued to challenge him and bless him and strengthen him. And this was one of the most mighty prophets of all time. He's the guy that showed up at the Mount of Transfiguration. He's the guy that shows up at our table. He's you. He's me. He's us as we step into our world, ever willing to proclaim the presence of a God who does mighty things in our world and touches people's hearts and lives through our presence. And we celebrate today the saints of old, but we also acknowledge and acknowledge that we are the saints of the days to come. You are the people of an almighty God. You are a flock that's been chosen by him. He doesn't come in the storms of life only. He doesn't come in the fires, and he doesn't come in the floods. But he comes in those still moments where we're at the bedside of someone who needs care. We're holding the hand of someone who's having a tough go of it. We're present with as an almighty God doing the menial tasks of loving one another. May we never feel like we're alone in this job, in this calling, because we are all called. We are all God's people. We are all God's children. We are all placed in this world to make a difference. May we never forget that God is with us wherever we go and whatever we do. And as we take communion and hold that wafer or that bread or that cracker or whatever it is we're using, as we take a sip of the wine, the blood of Christ, may we hear his promise that I'll be with you always, 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 even to the end of this life, and then I'll take you home. God's blessings on you all as we step up to the plate and we say, "Go team," and live our lives as God's saints. Amen.